Okay, good morning. The parasha is Parashat Va'eda in the Haftorah from Sefer Yecheskel. You have it right there in front of you. There are a total of 23 psukim in the Haftorah. The first two psukim are the last two psukim of Parsha Perek Chavchet, and then we have 21 psukim in Perek Chavtet. Ko'amar Hashem Elokim, so says the Rabbeinu Shlomo B'Kabtzi at Beit Yisrael min ha'amim asher nafotzu bam, when I will gather together the house of Israel from those nations where they are dispersed, v'nigdashti bam, I will be sanctified through them, le'enei ha'goyim, in the eyes of the nations. The Kiddush Hashem over here is because in a number of places Yecheskel says that Jews dispersed, not living in Eretz Yisrael, living outside of Eretz Yisrael is Chilul Hashem. Jews living again in Eretz Yisrael is Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, the Nigdashti Bam through Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, I will be sanctified Le'enei Hagoyim. The Yeshua Matam, they will live on their land. Ashenatati la'avdi le'Yakov, that I gave to my servant Yaakov. Why does he say Ashenatati la'avdi le'Yakov? Because there is a qualitative difference and a quantitative difference between the bracha of Eretz Yisrael to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. The bracha to Yaakov, and we discussed that, I think we mentioned in the Shabbos Shuvah Shir. Yaakov is given nachalo b'li mitzarim. Nachalo b'li mitzarim, a nachalo without boundaries. Because the Rebbe Shem tells him, in his dream, he says to Mufarat Stoyomov or Kedmot Zafonov and Egbo, you're going to spread out to all four corners of the world. And we pointed out that it's in Dizmiris. Does anybody remember where it is in Dizmiris? Mayadidus. B'li mitzadim nachalah. Yichabduhu ashev arash. This is Golugula. Nachal Ivalimit Sarim. This is the Nachal that was given to Yaakov. We had said it on the Pasuk in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Oztis Anagal Hashem, Im Toshiv Mishabos Raglecho, Asos Chafotzecho, Biom Kochi, Sovaha Achalticha, Nachalas Yaakov Avicho, Kifi Hashem Dibir. What is Nachalas Yaakov Avicho? So there too, Rashi says, Nachalas Yaakov Avicha is Nachala B'li Mitzarim. The Yoshua Aleil Avetach, and they will live on the land in security. Ubanu Batim V'natu Kramim, they will build houses and they will plant vineyards. The Yoshua Avetach, and they will live in security. Pasoti Shufatim B'chol HaShatim Atam, when I exact punishment or do justice against all of those who abuse them, misvivotam, all around them, v'yadu, and they will know ki ani Hashem Elokeim, that I am God, their God. The v'yadu ki ani Hashem Elokeim, I believe, is one of the most significant reasons for the choice of the Haftorah. As we go through the Haftorah, you're going to find that it's really talking about punishment that's going to come upon Egypt in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So it's, of course, the pashtus of the Haftorah is that it's talking about punishment to Egypt. And what's the whole Sedra? The Sedra is punishment to Egypt. The Makkas. So this is also punishment to Egypt. But it's more than that. When the Rabbeinu Shalom brings the Makkas, they are not brought merely to punish and to cause and inflict pain. The Makkas also have their purpose to educate Mitzrayim. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't simply clap and the education of Mitzrayim is expressed, and I'm going to read a number of psukim from the parsha. You don't have a chumash in front of you, so I will read them to you. At the beginning of the Sedra, it says that I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, v'yedatem, you will know, ki ani Hashem Elokechem, that I am God your God, v'yedatem, you will know, ki ani Hashem Elokechem, amotzi eschem yitachas, sivlos Mitzrayim, who takes you out from under the suffering of Egypt. And then we're going to hear, this is going to be a refrain throughout the Sedra. Because in last week's Sedra, Paro told Moshe, when he comes to him and he says, Hashem Elokeha Ifrim, God, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you. So what's Paro's response? Me Hashem, who is God? I said, Eshma Bekolo, that I should listen to him. And of course, we know the Rashi, the Medrash, that says that he checked on the divine website and he looked over there for Yudkei Vavkei. There is no Yudkei Vavkei. He finds everything, but he doesn't find that. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Bekolo. So therefore, the purpose of the Makis, the first is the Yadu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. Mitzrayim shall know that I am God, v'netoti et yadi al Mitzrayim, when I stretch out my hand over Egypt, v'hotzeiti et b'nei Yisrael mitochem, and I take b'nei Yisrael out from their midst. When he comes and tells him that I'm going to turn the Nile and all of the water into blood, says in the Torah, Komar Hashem, so says the Rabbeinu Shalom, bezot with this teida ki ani Hashem, that I am God. The message is then going to be said again about the Tzvardim. He tells him, stop it, I can't take it anymore. And so he says, okay, I'll do it, tomorrow I'll do it. Leman teida ki ein Hashem Elokeinu, so you should know that there is none like Hashem Elokeinu. Now, the first lesson is, you should know that I am Hashem. If you know that, now don't make the mistake of thinking that I'm on par with other deities. Ein ka Hashem Elokeinu, there is none other like Hashem Elokeinu. The third time around, and I'm reading again from the Sedra, the third time around it says, Leman teida, so you should know, ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. Not only I am God, not only there is no other God like me, but I am involved, hashgacha pratis, I am involved in history, Leman teida, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem, I am God, bekerev ha'aretz, in the midst of the land. Okay. The next time it appears in the Sedra, it says, Ta'avur teida, so that you should know, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. You know that I'm God. You know there's none like me. Now you have to know that I'm the care of ha'aretz, and even the care of ha'aretz in the midst of the land, ein kamoni the care of ha'aretz. There is none like me. The last time it appears in the Sedra, and I think it adds up to seven times. Leman teida ki la'Hashem ha'aretz. Not only is it that I act on the face of this earth, it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. That's really the theme of the whole Sedra. Which means, number one, that God doesn't simply bring makas in order to inflict pain. It's brought in order to teach a lesson. And the lesson is that you should know Hashem. We're going to find this refrain five times in the Haftarah. Take a look at your Haftarah. So we just now read the Yadu. The Yadu? The Yadu, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, in chapter 29, go down to Pasuk Zion. Let your fingers do the walking through that Torah. You come to Pasuk Vav. V'yadu kol yoshe Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. V'yadu kol yoshe, all of the inhabitants of Mitzrayim should know ki ani Hashem. Let your fingers go further to Pasuk Tet. Pasuk 9. V'hayta eretz Mitzrayim l'shmama v'charba. Eretz Mitzrayim will be desolate and destroyed. The Yod'u ki ani Hashem, and they shall know that I am God. Go all the way down to Pasuk Tet Zion. V'lo yiya od lebeit Yisrael mistach maskir avon b'finotam achareim v'yad'u ki ani Hashem Elokim. They will know that I am Hashem Elokim. And then if you take a look at the very last words in the Haftorah, v'yad'u ki ani Hashem, they shall know that I am Hashem. I'll tell you, in the Mefarshim of the on the Haftorah that I looked at, I didn't see anybody say this. Maybe they assumed that this is clearly the intent of the Haftorah, well beyond the idea that Haftorah is talking about punishment that's brought on Mitzrayim. All right. Let's get into the Haftorah. Bashana Hasidit, in the 10th year, Basidi, on the 10th day, on the 10th month, B'shneim Osol HaKodesh, in the 12th day of the month. What day are we talking about over here? We're talking about the month is Teves. The month is Teves. It's the 12th day of Teves. And the year is the 10th year. What's the pshat of the 10th year? The 10th year is the 10th year from the Golus of Yehoyachin, the first Golus to Bavel. It's at the end, the period of the end of Bayit Sheni, Bayit Rishon. And you know how close it is? This is Tevet. That coming of, 6 months later, is going to be Churban HaBayit. And Yecheskel is where? Yecheskel is in Bavel. And he receives the message there about what's going to happen to Mitzrayim.
Excuse me.
Yes.
How did you arrive? What is the 10th year?
The 10th year is the 10th year from the time that Yechoniah Melech Yehuda or Yehoyachin was sent into exile. The first wave of exiles. Daniel went into exile then. And 11 years after that exile, in the 11th year of that exile, comes the Korban. And nearly all of the dates in Sefer Yecheskel are dated from that wave of exiles, because that's when Yecheskel went into Golus. He's counting his days in Bavel according to how many years he's in Golus. Many people do that often. 23 years in Eretz Yisrael. People count from when they made Aliyah. People count from when they came to a community. So here he's talking about from the time that he came into Golus. Hayo Dvar Hashem Elai Leimer, the word of God came to me so saying, Ben Adam, Simponecha Al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Now there are a lot of pshat in why Yecheskel is referred to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ben Adam. I'll just give you one now. The one is Ben Adam. He's called Ben Adam because at the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, he is shown the Kisei HaKavod. He sees the Malachim. He sees what's going on in heaven. So the Rebbe Hashem wants him to know, despite the fact that you've been privileged to see what nearly no other man has ever seen, remember, you are Ben Adam. You're a man of flesh and blood. Ben Adam, Sim Panecha al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Turn your face toward Paro Melech Mitzrayim. V'hi novei olav and say prophecy about him, v'al Mitzrayim kulan, about all of Mitzrayim. Daber v'yomarta, speak and you should say, Koma Hashem Elokim, so says the Rebbe Hashem, Hineni olecha Paro Melech Mitzrayim. I'm on to you, I'm on you, Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Hatanim hagadol. They say the great sea monster. You know what a tanim is? Most of the Mefarshim say a tanim is a crocodile. Anybody ever see a crocodile?
Yeah?
They're pretty scary. Crocodiles are pretty scary. They're big. They're heavy. They're powerful. And he's described as Hatanim Hagadol, the great crocodile, Harovet, the Tokhya Orav, who crouches. You ever see them? You see them lying, you know, on their belly, on the sea, on the shore or the bank of a river. And then, you know, when they slide in, you see that heavy body moving, you know, like slithering and sliding into the water. Tanim Agado, Harovets Vitok Sharov, who crouches in his river. Asher Amar, who said, Li Yodi Tani Asitini. This is the chait of Paro. It's my river, and I made it. The truth is, Ani Asitini means more than I made it. I made me. I'm a self-made Paro. The sin of Mitzrayim throughout Tanakh is Mitzrayim is arrogant. Mitzrayim is conceited. Mitzrayim's an invalid gaiva. And it was reflected in the fact that Paro saw himself as a deity or tried to pass himself off as a deity. That's why it always says, the Rosh Hashanah tells Moshe, go out to Paro when he's Yotzei al Amayim, he's going out to the water in the morning. So Chazal said, Rashi brings it, that he used to go out and do his ablutions in the morning, so nobody should know that he's a man of flesh and blood who has to go to the bathroom. So he did everything in the morning. I don't know what he did the rest of the day. All right. Anyway, Paro thinks that he is not God's gift to mankind. He's God. He sees himself as a divine personage. By the way, isn't that Gaiva Mi Hashem? Who is God? Asher Eshma Bekolo. Eshtink Avek Fun Em the Gaiva. And that's why Mitzrayim is referred to as Rahav. Yeshayahu says about Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim is all talk. They'll never help you, they'll never assist you. And the tragedy of the Jewish people, one of the tragedies of the Jewish people, during the period of the Malachim, they turned to Paro, they turned to Mitzrayim for aid and assistance in times of crisis. Yes. I'm very happy that you're listening to me and that you know how to interpret the words of the Navi into contemporary terms, and that you're going to learn how you can't trust Mitzrayim. You can't depend on Mitzrayim. Yeshayahu said, Yirmiyahu said it, and now Yechezkel says it. Yeshayahu, there are two chapters about Mitzrayim. Chapter 30 and chapter 31. Chapter 30 and 31 are both talking about Mitzrayim. You can't depend on them. You can't trust them. And then you have in Yirmiyahu, you have a lot of references to Paro and to Mitzrayim, but especially in chapters 37 and 46, but a lot of other places. Now you have to understand, we're talking now about a Middle East in which the two superpowers were Ashur to the north, Mitzrayim to the south. That's at the first stage. At the second stage, Ashur is going to, after the destruction of Sancheriv, Ashur is going to fall to Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. The next kingdom is going to be Babel, but it will be Babel against Mitzrayim. Yisrael makes a number of deals with Mitzrayim. He never comes through. He does arrive at one battle where he takes on Nebuchadnezzar, the great battle at Carchemish, and at that battle Mitzrayim is crushed. So the Rebbe Shem says, "V'natati chachim b'lechayecha," I am going to put hooks into your cheeks. V'hidbakti begat yo'orecha betaskis osecha, and I'm going to have the fish of your river clinging to your scales. The fish represent all of Mitzrayim, the people of Egypt. The crocodile is Paro. V'ha'aliticha mitoch yo'orecha, I'm going to take you out of your river. that kol digat yodecho b'kaske so techa tidvak, and all of the fish of the river are going to cling to your scales. And what I'm going to do is unetashticham idbora, I'm going to cast you out into the desert. Do you know what the desert means for a crocodile? The desert means death for a crocodile. Crocodile needs water. I say, in a sense, what it means is the following. You wouldn't let Klal Yisrael go out into the desert to serve Hashem. I'm going to take you out of the desert. They're going out into the desert. Is life for them. You're going out in the desert is going to be death for you. I'm going to take you out of the river. Now listen carefully what I'm saying, Chavis. I'm saying good stuff over here. You threw Jewish children into the Nile, and that was death for them. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take you out of the Nile, and that's going to be death for you. Do you see the two situations that I set up over here? The precise opposite situation in each case, and what's a bracha for Klal Yisrael turns into a klala for Mitzrayim. The onesh is midah keneged midah. They threw Jewish children into the Nile. They're going to be taken out of the Nile. Klal Yisrael goes into the desert, but it's for the birth of a people. You're going to be taken out into the desert that you didn't let them go out into. You're going to be taken out into the desert, and you're going to die there. Unetashticha midbara, and I'm going to cast you out into the midbar, otcham that called the gat yorecho, you and all of the fish of the river. Al pnei asada tipo, upon the face of the field you shall fall, lo te'asei for lo tikabeitz, you will not be brought in, nor will you be gathered in. L'chayat ha'aretz u'la'of ha'shamayim nitaticha la'ochla, for the beasts of the earth and for the birds of the heaven I have given you as food. They're going to eat you. V'yadu kol Mitzrayim, all of Egypt will call Yoshe Mitzrayim, k'enei Hashem that I am God. Yan he'yitem. And you know why they're being punished? Because you were mish'enet koneh lebeit Yisrael. You were a reed on which to lean. Klal Yisrael leaned on you. But you weren't a cane or a stick. You know what you were? You were a reed. And the next pasuk is going to describe how when somebody leans on the weak reed, it breaks and its sharp edge goes through one's hand. One begins to fall, and the sharp edge keeps going into his shoulder. Klal Yisrael leaned on them. Now, there's another general idea. Before we get to the next vote, there's another general idea that you have to understand. It's something we began to say last week, and on last week's Haftarah, I didn't see anybody. It says it here already. There are those who say it. The Esser Makos are all acts of God. What we would define as acts of God. They're all nature. All of them are nature. Whatever is going to happen to Mitzrayim in the days of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel are not acts of nature. They are acts of human beings. It's either Samcherev Melech Ashur or it's Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. So what the Navi is telling us is God acts in different ways. We started already expressing this idea last week. Harbei Shluchim Awakam. There are many ways in which the Rebbeinu Shem acts. He acts either through nature or he acts through human beings. But it makes no difference. Whichever way he does it, it is a message sent from the Rebbeinu Shalala. I think last week we made a little bit reference to these reports we were getting of some flooding taking place in Southeast Asia. I don't think we had a clue last Tuesday, lo ola al hadat, what kind of an awesome catastrophe that part of the world had suffered. I remember I pointed it out in last week's Haftorah, because in the Haftorah I said there's a description of a tidal wave nearly unmatched in its description to any other pasuk in Tanakh. The pasuk said, Zerem, Mayim, Kabirim, Shotzim, a stream of mighty waters flooding. And I think I also said, wait and see by Shabbos how many people are going to pick it up. That's a Haftorah. You understand? The Haftorah talks about this. So I don't think too many people picked it up. You know, somebody said that they found it on some website over there. But of course, huh?
It's in Brachot Revis and Yumra's book this week. I can't give you the citation. It exactly describes what happened. It's in Brachot.
Well,
exactly.
There's a Yumra.
It caused an earthquake.
Well, where did you hear her?
She spoke this week at the Unani at her place.
Here? Or in America?
Jerusalem.
Oh. Okay. All right. So.
Yeah. Very beautiful.
Anyway, what I expected happened. I'm coming to shul Friday night, so I already begin to hear the rumblings of what had taken place, and then Shabbos in the morning I heard more. It's the wisdom in many places was, do we suffer from people in our midst who know the reasons for everything? We do have that kind of a phenomenon. So what I heard both Friday night and Shabbos in the morning was, it happened there because they're over there very desire, and they're it's a place of zima, immorality. So that, of course, me, great rationalist, it got me a little upset listening to such Nafishkeit. Number one, how do you know? How do you know? Shema b'shamayim ayisa.
God's accountant.
You are me'achorei ha'paragod. You were behind the curtain and you heard God planning this. How do you know? But that's not the worst thing. There are two things that are worse. If you say it happened there because of Avodah Zarah and because of Zima, then you know what you're saying? Me, it doesn't affect me at all. On the contrary, I'm okay. Not sure about you guys. Maybe you're also okay. But I'm okay. They weren't okay, and they got it. It means I'm fine. We're okay. Any phenomenon of this sort in nature is a message by the Rebbeinu Shleilam. He doesn't send the message just to them. It's a message for a whole world. And if you don't pick up the message, then you know what you're doing? You are taking an awesome event and turning it into something meaningless. And one is never going to be potter if they do something of that sort. It also makes it impossible for one to think seriously about it and do tshuva for something if somebody would have to. Because listen, I'm okay. It happened to those guys there because they're terrible over there. They deserve it. Me, it doesn't affect at all. That's not so. I told people how it affected me and how I thought it should affect others. Of course, the simplest limud is the fact that man is vulnerable. There isn't a soul in the world gets up in the morning, knows where he's going to be at night. I mean, if you, we're usually not conscious of it. Would we be conscious of it, you understand, we'd be in terrible sad shape. But on some level, we have to be aware of it. And if you're aware of it, so then you have to understand time has to be used for Torah, for mitzvahs, for chesed, for masim tovim. You can't permit yourself to live a life of nagishkeit. I mean, machlekesin and sinis and kinis, this is how there are people whose lives pass only involved in such activities. In families, how many machlekesin are there in families? Who knows how many years? It's unbelievable. When all of a sudden you're struck with the idea that, hey, wait a minute, it may be coming to an end. You have to think more seriously. You have to change. You have to do something. Then there's another problem with this. When you say it happened because of such and such, then you know what you're saying? They got just what they deserve. They're just desserts. That's not a Torah Hashkafa. When the Yam Suf is covering the Egyptians, Bikshu Malachi Asharei Sloma Shira, the Malachim wanted to say Shira. So the Rebbein Shem says to them, Masi Yodai Tovim Bayam Va'atam Omnim Shira. My creatures, Masi Yodai, I'm drowning in the sea, and you want to say Shira? You know how you're supposed to feel? You're supposed to feel pain. Pashit, there are most probably now millions of people that are suffering. Aside from all of the dead, millions of people are pashit suffering. Hunger, thirst, without shelter, it's unbelievable. Masa Yoga are suffering. You have to understand that this is not pashit. What was the whole message of Sefer Yonah? In the last chapter of Yonah, Yonah's sitting out there outside of Nineveh, and a kikayon grows over him and it gives him great shade, and then overnight the kikayon dies and he's angry, he's upset. So the Galatian says, Ata chastal a kikayon, you were concerned and so troubled about that kikayon that you didn't work, you didn't plant it, it came and it disappeared overnight. Vani lo ochus, I shouldn't have Rachmanis al Nineveh ha'ir ha'gedola, Nineveh, the great city, ashyeshbo lemala mimeya ve'esrim ribo, 120,000, that's millions of people, ubehema rabba, many animals, shalo yodu ben yamin, on the small, and don't know whether they're coming or going. And that's why you have to take a look at it. That's why you have to look at it. Anything else is to my mind, not a Torahic way of looking at things. But if I'm mentioning that, so in Shul this Shabbos, I showed them. Two little items in the newspaper. I'll tell you about the two little items in the newspaper. One of them is a report from the Nature Preserve in Sri Lanka, the biggest nature preserve in the country. When the waters began to recede, they didn't find bodies of any animals or beasts. What happened? So they came to the conclusion that they must have sensed the impending danger, and they made their way to higher ground. I read this little item, it triggered by me an association. Where did I read about something like this last? There was a drosha that the Rav Soloveitchik said in the 40s. It was written up in Hapardes, the American rabbinic Torah journal. It was a shir on Parshat Bahalotcha. And in Parshat Bahalotcha, there's the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to make trumpets. And the trumpets were supposed to be used to call the Eidah together, or that the Machaneh, the camp, should begin to journey. So the Rav asked, what's the difference between Machaneh and Eidah? There are two terms that are being used there to describe the Jewish people. So he says, by definition, a Machaneh is united not from within. A machaneh, what unites the people who are part of a machaneh, is that there's an enemy from without, and they're united because they're going out to battle against that enemy from without. And we know that in history. Japan invaded China, so the Chinese communists and the Chinese nationalists stopped fighting each other, and they fought the yellow invader, the Japanese. When the war was all over and the Japanese were defeated, so they went merrily back to fighting between each other. But at least they knew when there is a threat from without, you unite. That's a machaneh. America and Russia. America and Russia united against Hitler. When the war was over, so then, all right, they an iron curtain came down across Eastern Europe, separating East from West. In that shir, the Rav writes, a machane you can find also in the animal kingdom. And Ramish describes, animals have this unique ability to sense impending danger, and they will begin to flee from the danger. The lamb and the lion are going to flee together, and neither one of them, the lion is not going to start up with the lamb. The domesticated and the weak animals are going to flee together with the mighty animals that under other circumstances would devour them. Not at a time of danger. At a time of danger, they are all unified in fleeing from before the danger. An Adar, on the other hand, means a community that all bears testimony to a certain idea. So what unites an Adar is a union from within, not from without. And therefore an Adar is something that has the ability to last far, far longer than a Machane does. So then I can't help it. You know, I have my pet interests. There was another little article in the same newspaper. Another little article. And the other little article had good news and it had bad news. The other article was Shalom Achshav announced that on the West Bank 3,500 apartments are being built. The good news is that 3,500 apartments are being built on the West Bank. The bad news is never that 3,500 apartments are being built on the West Bank. Okay? Shalom Achshav, of course, has to let the world know, and the tragedy of tragedies, most of that construction is going on in three places, in the two Haredi places, Beitar and Kiryat Sefer, and Male Adumim. And then they list how much of other places, 30 dirhams, 50 dirhams, 60 dirhams. Okay, so Shalom Achshav. In other words, we don't have enough sun in Mibachot, you understand, so we have sun in Mibachot. What it means is the following. They're not even like the Chayes Chayes. The Chayes Chayes know that when there's a danger from without, everybody unites. We are surrounded by enemies, Mibachutz, and we have these kind of people who are out there betraying us from within. Shemu Shemayim Azaz. I couldn't help it. Like I couldn't help it. I mean, I just... You understand me that I couldn't help it. So the Haftorah's message in relation to the Sedra is what the Rebbeinu Shlom in the Sedra is going to do via the force of nature is going to take place in history either through the force of nature, and by the way, there are a number. I was thinking also Shidas Devora. Shidas Devora. Devora says about Sisra and his army, Nachal Kishon Girafam, the river of Kishon swept them away. The Farshim, Tas Mikra certainly says it. As the forces of Sisra are coming near Nachal Kishon, Nachal Kishon goes from Haifa along the long Emek Yisrael. That there was a cloud burst and Nachal Kishon Pashit went over its banks and it just wiped out the forces of Sisra. So the conversion uses nature. Of course he uses nature. He uses nature in a lot of ways. Hitler didn't get bogged down at Stalingrad in the Russian winter. Napoleon Eichert had the Chatamatula with the Russian winter. Nature is used by the Bereshim, but in addition to that, Yecheskel is saying not only nature is used, but the Bereshim is going to use human beings. They are his shulchim as well. And here, the period of time that he's talking about is that he's telling them it's going to happen later. It's going to happen a few years down the line. The same Nebuchadnezzar that's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in a few months from now is the one that is going to utterly destroy destroy Mitzrayim. And the reason is the Pasuk we're up to, because you couldn't depend on Mitzrayim. Couldn't depend on Mitzrayim. I have a feeling when I learned Haftorah, I had a feeling that there may be another message over here of extreme contemporary significance. The Rambam doesn't want Jews to depend on Mitzrayim. And what did he say in this pasuk? Yam heyotem mishenet konel beit Yisrael. You're going to suffer because you are a leaning reed. Now, does the Rambam want us to depend on Mitzrayim? No. But he's going to cause them to suffer because they are mishenet konel. And look at the next pasuk. When they grasp you bakaf in their palm, teivot, you snap, you break. So you go through the palm, you go through the shoulder. When they lean on you, you break. And with all the force they're going down, they have to bring all the force of their bodies to stand up straight. I hold that there's a very important message in the Haftarah. God doesn't want Mitzrayim to be the one on whom they lean. So what's he having complaints that they lean on Mitzrayim and they can't trust Mitzrayim? Do you understand what I'm asking? That doesn't make sense. I tell you, it does make sense. Mitzrayim owed us a great deal. Mitzrayim owed us that much that during the course of history, after all the suffering they caused to Klal Yisrael, they should, at moments of need, come to the aid and the assistance of Klal Yisrael. If you're doing any tshuva, if you really regret what you did, throwing Jewish children in the Nile, enslaving an entire people for 210 years, you should at least come to their aid and their assistance. A world that stood idly by or was actively involved in the Shoah, the least that they can do is to stand by Eretz Yisrael. And the nations of the world, nearly every one of them, except for the United States so far, every one of them has failed the test. Just like Mitzrayim failed the test. You should have been a Mishenet and not a Mishenet Koneh. You owe us what you will never be able to repay. Do you know how long they stood by our side? 1 hour. Was it October 29th, Chavtet November? The 1 hour that they voted in the United Nations. And they had Charata right afterwards. If they would have come to our Supreme Court would have told them, you can change your votes. Thank God they didn't have our Supreme Court. The least that a France and an England and a Germany and a Holland and a Belgium, Sweden, the least that they owe is, after all the terrible suffering they brought, at least we should be able to depend on them for support. There's nobody you can depend on in the world. That's what he's saying over here. The end is you shouldn't depend on them. But from their point of view, I mean, I think it's clear in the Pesukim, from the point of view of what I expect from the Tzchaim and what I expect from the nations of the world, you're failing miserably. I'm beginning to like this better every minute. I'm telling you, it's getting better every minute. You're failing miserably. The least that you could have done is have been a source of mishenet for Klal Yisrael, and you're not even that. So that's what the Navi is saying. All right, there's so much more, but you know, Mies Hashem, 11, Gesundheit, you know, I see Ruby and it's 12:30, so. when you have that mixture of ruby and 12:30, it's time to. I'm saying that with affection. I didn't say it.
Minister.